Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks.
Don't say it.
Okay, I'm just saying. Can I say just a couple things?
No.
Yes.
No.
How about there's a baseball game?
There is.
That you can say.
A baseball Google game that. Going on somewhere in America right now in the top of the...
They're in the game.
They are in the game. And mm-hmm. We are not allowed specifically to talk about the things that are happening.
I will tell you that whatever you're excited about just stopped happening. It hasn't happened on the TV yet, but it already happened because I'm seeing it on the computer screen. So we can stop getting excited about it and move on before we get in trouble for doing play-by-play.
We are in the bottom of the fifth. That's all I'm going to say. I have been looking forward to this hour this afternoon because we are going to talk about a way you can help globally when it comes to all of our citizens who need it. And I know that there's a lot of great charities out there, but we are thrilled to welcome President and CEO of Global Care Force, Scott Overcrum, joins us in studio right now. You've been there 3 years. Scott, first, I want to welcome you into the program.
Thank you very much.
It's illegal for me to do play-by-play. I'm not sure if it's illegal for you to do play-by-play.
I was going
to
ask anybody with a microphone on here right now.
I mean, Scott, what are they going to do, sue you?
Are they going to fire me?
What are you going to do? You're here.
We can follow our founder's advice. What's the worst that could happen?
Right. So, yeah, I got an email from a good, longtime dear friend of mine that we used to work together, actually, in the news business. And she said, would you please have Scott on to talk about Global Care Force and the great work that you are doing really here in Kansas City, but well beyond the borders of Kansas City. So what is Global Care Force?
Global Care Force is a relatively young organization, but we have a global impact. We are sending volunteers around the world to care for people that are in communities that are under-resourced. We're predominantly focused on primary care, healthcare services, but you don't have to be medical to go to the places Global Care Force does. We take non-medical volunteers as well because you can have just as much of an impact in somebody's life.
So volunteers come from the Kansas City area, across the U.S., other countries, all of the things. They are doctors, nurses, EMTs, PAs, and again, you said people with no medical background mm-hmm. who want to help by providing care. And I actually have a friend of mine who did this specifically in the Ukraine area, mm-hmm. helping babies that are born with heart defects. And so I personally know someone who has done this multiple times. I know mm-hmm. that Mercy sends a team quite often to go train the doctors over there and mm-hmm. to help save babies. It's a beautiful work that you do. Where is your team now and what is your need to keep this work continuing?
Yeah, we need more volunteers. We send volunteers every month. We send a team that will travel to remote communities throughout Ukraine
yep.
that just don't have access to healthcare. Those that are volunteering, we don't disclose the locations for their security.
Right.
Because, how to say this nicely, but there are air raids that happen in Ukraine on a regular basis. And so where our volunteers are, it's safe. No one wants to go in and put their lives at risk to extreme, but it's a relatively safe experience. Our volunteers go in and they are concerned at the front end and at the back end because they are just so taken care of by the Ukrainian people, by the host team, that they walk out of there just transformed.
To what extent does the evolving, changing, rapid news cycle harm the kind of work that you guys are trying to do where, you know, we're not talking a lot every single day about Ukraine anymore. There are mm-hmm. disasters everywhere all the time. We just spent several minutes talking about Helene mm-hmm. and the need here. So I'm guessing you need help getting the word out that if you're in the medical profession and you want to go down and volunteer, you will help facilitate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We look for partners. We're not going to go in and say Global Care Force is here to set up. a hospital, a clinic. We're looking for organizations that already have a reputation. It could be a Ukrainian doctor. That is, and this isn't true, Ukrainian doctors were looking for help at the beginning of the war. They reached out to, you know, that broad brush call. We answered. And we got to know the doctors. We got to know the communities that were looking for help. We've had over 180 clinics staffed by Global Care Force volunteers. We've dispensed over $150,000 in medications at no charge in Ukraine because our volunteers step up and they fundraise and we accept donations from anybody to help those that are under-resourced, that are marginalized, but it's not just Ukraine.
All treatments and medications are free to patients. You have helped more than 7,000 of them. This is interesting. When you first started the clinics, every single patient had dangerously high blood pressure and, of course, suffered from PTSD.
That is correct.
And so we're also talking, there's a mental health component to this, obviously, when you're living in a war zone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, every team that we deploy has a trauma therapist associated with that team as well. And we've gone through a trauma care training program that Global Care First partnered with another NGO to set it up. And then that creates that continuity of care for the communities that, you know, just don't are without.
This brought a tear to my eye when I read this. The gratitude from the people has been overwhelming. And if you're a volunteer, you know that, where they might not have a lot of money, but they will bring flowers or walnuts that they handpicked to as some sort of thank you for the care that without you guys would not exist.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And our volunteers, they receive food. The, you know, maybe someone made a borscht. They might made a loaf of bread. They bring, the Ukrainians bring that to the clinic just as appreciation. That has evolved over 2 years. The first team that we sent over there, they did an amazing job. And you could tell that the communities were skeptical. The second team shows up.
Right.
And it's like, okay, there's something here. Then the third team shows up. And then the trust is built with Global Care Force. And now it's the point of, when are the doctors coming? When, you know, when do we get to see the next crew that comes through? We have volunteers that have been in Ukraine two or three or four different times over that 2 year period. They recognize the same patients and they get to, they've built a relationship not only with the Ukrainian support team, but the patients in the community and so the community leaders.
If you're in Kansas City and you're a healthcare professional, how long is the stint that you go over and volunteer for? And on top of that, is like airfare covered? Like, how does all of that work?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. We have designed this specifically to work with American schedules. Our volunteers will go for a 2 week deployment. So that's real easy to, for most, to say, hey, I'm going to shut down clinic or I just need someone covered my shifts for 2 weeks. And they go into Ukraine, they provide 10 days worth of clinic, and they get back home.
Doctors, nurses, any healthcare provider, but also you said you don't necessarily have to have a medical background. Tell me about that. If you are a civilian and you want to help, and you know, maybe you work, you know, around healthcare, but you don't have the fancy title, then then what do you do?
We've had professional business people that just went to help. We've had you know, people that are in HVAC facilities that specialize in that, they've gone to help. They work in the pharmacy. They are the ones that are, you're dispensing 60 days worth of medication to somebody.
Yep.
What's a good use of their time? It may seem trivial or trite, but so you can count a 60 pills, put it in a bag, deliver that to the patient with a smile. They smile back.
Yeah.
You made an impact right then and there. We, again, with $10,000 worth of medication we carry in and out of communities, we might have two clinics a day because we can travel from one community to the next with a van. These communities, the people that are in those communities don't have transportation.
No.
There's no mass transportation.
No.
There's no I-35.
You have to go to them.
Yes.
You have to go to them.
Yes.
So if people are listening, they want to help, whether you're in healthcare or not, where do they go for more information? Then we'll talk quick about the fundraiser.
Sure. Globalcareforce.org.
Globalcareforce.org.
Let's keep it simple, right?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Global. And if you have specific questions or are interested in volunteering, send an email to us at info@globalcareforce.org.
So your first big fundraiser is this Sunday, October 6th. And I love this because Dana Hughes obviously works literally right next to us. And he is going to be part of this. It's food provided by Green Dirt Farm. It's like a wine dinner because it costs money for the medication. It costs money for the care, for the transportation. And you need people there to support this.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're always looking for ways to scholarship volunteers. Our volunteers go out and fundraise for themselves.
Yep.
They're trying to raise the money to go to Ukraine, go to Egypt, go wherever our volunteers are needed. That's how we pay for that to happen. Dana is a tremendous asset to the Kansas City community. We're just so thrilled that he's a partner with us and to come and hear his story and the people that have influenced his life. And that's really what Global Care Force is about, is transforming lives through volunteer service. Someone has to have an impact on someone else's life to really have that extracted from our souls.
There are a few tickets available. The Harvest Wine Dinner at Bourgemont Winery with food provided by Green Dirt Farm. That is going to be incredible. And the funds raised will play a crucial role in filling those pharmacies in Ukraine and the other areas around the globe that you guys have an impact. Info@globalcareforce.org or go to globalcareforce.org for more information. President and CEO of Global Care Force, Scott Overcrome, thank you so much for making time in your busy schedule for us today.
Thank you, Dana. It was a pleasure being here.
Be well. Back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Welcome back.
Crazy things are happening. It's crazy and it's happening.
Balls are flying. People are ducking. We are in the bottom of the fifth. I will not say anything else.
Thank you.
Will not. Not going to say anything else about that.
There has been one.
You get to say something and I don't get to say something?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to say that there has been one since we've last updated you. I didn't say anything.
You know you wanted to. You know you wanted to. All right, there's a new hashtag out there. You're going to love this story. From the New York Post, unemployed Gen Zers. Remind me, who are the Zers? Are they in their 30s?
That is the Mears.
That is Sam.
I am the eldest Gen Z. And yes, we just escaped.
Unemployed Gen Zers.
See, I gave no context. Wasn't that nice? I gave an update with no context.
Here's what I want everyone in Kansas City to do right now. I just want you to go... Just breathe out.
Yes.
We are okay.
Now, this story that you're about to start reading, it makes me want to go, not a calm breath.
Not you. Unemployed Gen Zers are now using a new hashtag on their LinkedIn banner, and I don't like this at all.
On their profile picture. So you've seen it, people on Facebook with like hashtag support Ukraine or hashtag support whatever issue they want to support. It's in a transparent, color-backed, round banner. You know how, like, profile images are round?
It's like a big banner.
Go around the outside of the image, supporting whatever cause you support. Well, now, on LinkedIn, the Gen Zers that can't find jobs are putting...
Desperate.
Hashtag desperate.
Desperate. From the New York Post. Looking desperate is apparently no longer a red flag, at least on LinkedIn. Unemployed people who are open to work are now being transparent about their urgent need for a new role, blazingly adorning their profiles with the LinkedIn banner that reads hashtag desperate.
Let me tell you how to make you less attractive to an employer.
Man, I agree with you.
Go ahead and just acknowledge that you're so unemployable that you have to put the word desperate on your LinkedIn profile.
So they interviewed, and I got to give it to her, she was honest, 28-year-old Courtney Myers. She created the emblem, and they interviewed her on Fortune magazine. If you're in need, she says, why would you not ask for help? The 28-year-old was laid off from her graphic design job in November and has since applied to about 30 jobs per day to no avail. It inspired her to create the bold banner that has since been adopted by a number of other, quote, desperate workers. I'm jumping on the desperate bandwagon, quoting here from 22-year-old Hannah McFadden, who updated her profile picture adorned with the desperate banner. She says she's applied for 20 jobs per day after leaving her remote job in April, and employers weren't responding to her applications. A lot of companies don't even state the salary on the job applications anymore, she said. I live at home with my parents, but I very well could have my own place. I have a cell bill to cover. So I could be in a situation where I really need to know the salary. And the fact they don't state that, she says, leaves you in the dark. And while she is hashtag desperate for work. She says she also has standards and doesn't want to go below her previous salary. I cannot think, just off the top of my head, a scenario when you are needing or wanting something and the word desperate is going to help you get there.
It's literally never a benefit. And when, and I've made this comment about many things, and I get that I'm a 90-year-old stuck in a 27-year-old's body. But when did we decide that we were too good as a society? I understand not wanting to drop below your means. I also understand going to the grocery store, swiping a card, and having it work. There's a big difference.
I don't know. My dad picked up roadkill for one of his jobs for KDOT.
Yeah, sometimes.
He literally scraped animals that had careened off the Rainbow Bridge into a truck for KDOT.
Sometimes.
Because he needed a job.
You swallow your pride. You go, you grab an application, and I don't know, you clean toilets at a gas station for $17 an hour because that's what they were willing to pay you. You have to pay your bills.
It hurts your pride to do that.
Oh, darn it.
You know what else hurts?
Not eating.
Getting hit by a baseball. I've heard that hurts.
That definitely hurts.
Really bad.
It does.
Top of the six. We're back with much more on Dana and Park. Straight ahead. Stick with us.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Scott will be back on Monday.
A couple of great points from the text line.
Yeah, please.
You can't be hashtag desperate and then choose what you want.
That is a great point.
While begging. Beggars can't be choosers. If you're desperate, take what you can get.
And how can you truly be hashtag desperate when companies are dying to get people in the door?
Absolutely dying. But those companies don't want to meet the incredibly high standards presented to them by the hashtag desperate Gen Zer.
Let's go to Josh in the Northland. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. So I agree with you on saying that you're desperate is not going to help you get a job, because anybody who's hiring doesn't want someone who's just desperate and needs something right now. They want someone that will hopefully stick around and grow with the company. But It's just absolutely ridiculous to me. Like, I was going to say that if you're actually truly desperate, you'll go work at McDonald's if you have to. I've been there before. I've worked in the utility industry most of my life, but I have been desperate. And I went and got a job at Sonic until I found a better job.
Yep.
At the same time, saying you're jobless right now, but you could have your own place, but you live with your parents, so you're the delusional entitlement of a lot of people nowadays is absolutely insane to me.
Josh, it's a good call. It's hard not to paint with a broad brush when it comes to younger people for every generation that came before. For every generation. So I try to be careful, because I know, Sam, you're one of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. You are a workhorse. My son is a workhorse. So are my daughters. And they would not understand hashtag desperate. They would be like, what?
Well, and I get it. It sucks to swallow your pride. It does. And it hurts. And it is something that you are going to struggle with every single day as you drag yourself into that job that you don't want to do. But do you want to eat? You want to pay bills? You want to stay on your feet?
Let's go to Chad in Kansas City. Hi, Chad. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I've worked in the propane industry for 10 years. I'm 54. I've been laid off from my job, and I'm a little overweight, but when I apply for these other jobs, like with the propane industry, they look at me, and because I'm older, they won't hire me for nothing.
Because of your age, you think, Chad?
Oh, man, I think they look at me as being overweight, and I think my age does kind of play in a part of it, too.
How many jobs have you applied for, if you had to guess?
Within the last 2 months, I would say about 50.
Wow. Well, buddy, keep plugging away, will you? And keep us posted, because I have a feeling things are going to turn around for you. If you are trying that hard, keep plugging away.
And I will say, be patient. These things do not come in a week, 2 weeks. I've heard of people that have applied for jobs and gotten the dream job callback like 6 months later. Be patient.
All right, let's move on to Gen Z. I always love these stories. There's new slang that has been added to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Okay, we joked about this a while back, and now it's officially in the dictionary.
I am never okay with slang being added to the dictionary. It drives me crazy. Merriam and Webster are rolling over in their graves. I assume they're no longer with us.
Yes, they are both no longer with us.
All right, here we go. Brush up on Gen Z's favorite buzzwords, because they have officially entered our lexicon.
Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Dana, I think you were off, and we joked about the common acronym, which is actually an initialism, as a text line, or a texter pointed out to me. It's not an acronym. Like, NASA is an acronym
because you can't say
the word. But if you say the letters, it's initialism.
The letters are very important to this program. It's FYP.
FYP is what we get trending on the text line when Scott's being a jerk.
Correct.
It stands for
blank.
Blank
Parks. Parks.
Yeah.
Right? But FYP, and I know this.
It's now in the dictionary.
I know this because I saw this definition the other day, and I was like, ooh. I was like, I know. I'm not. I was like, wait a minute. FYP means something else? And sure enough, it does. I know, right? I love Bobby Witt. He's so cute. I'm just saying he's very handsome.
So now FYP, which does not stand for
blank U Parks.
Correct. It stands for the For You page.
That's stupid.
Which is also commonly known as the suggestions page on social media sites.
Okay. What do you think touch grass means? Because I love this one. If I said go touch grass, I would think that was like derogatory.
No, literally go outside.
Touch grass,
be one with nature,
is an idiomatic phrase to participate in normal activities,
right,
in the real world.
It is a way that gamers insult other gamers after getting beat. Why don't you go touch some grass,
okay,
loser?
Okay, especially as opposed to online experiences.
Right, because instead of going outside and being a normal human, they're locked in their basement.
But like when I went, to the Missouri Botanical Gardens, could I say, I'm going to go this weekend and touch some grass?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be video games. You could be just a hermit in general, and you never go outside. It's good to go out and touch some grass.
Touch some grass. Okay, yep. Touch grass. Nepo baby, we know what that means, because in Hollywood you hear this all the time, that the Nepo babies get the jobs because, you know,
nepotism.
Tom Hanks is their dad or whatever. Street corn, that wasn't in the dictionary before. It's actually grilled corn on the cob coated with a creamy spread. There's
that
no other, there. That. Why is that?
Delicious Mexican dish for a long time.
I thought that was going to mean something weird, like you and your street corn. No.
No.
It actually
straight
just
up street corn.
Means street corn.
I guess we needed a separate dictionary word for that.
Capicola has just now been added, as in on your meat and cheese tray, capicola.
Okay. See, I can get behind these ones. I don't know why they weren't in there already, other than the fact that they're just words for meat in a different language.
All right, here's one I didn't know. Shadow ban. It is a noun.
Yes. That is where your posts stop appearing on people's For You pages. You get essentially kicked out of the algorithm without any direct knowledge of that happening.
Have you ever seen the people that copy and paste on Facebook? They do it all the time. Try this. It really works. If you take the top 25 and do this and then click on this, you'll start seeing new people on your feed. So if you don't, like, I'm friends with, I think, like 900 people on my private page, and I actually know all of them. But there's people that you don't see for a long time.
Yes.
You know, for whatever reason, they just don't, they're not on your
feed. Well, that's not necessarily shadow banning. So shadow banning is if you post all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're a frequent flyer on the social medias,
okay,
and you post something that might not fit community standards.
Okay.
Say you're a conspiracy theorist and you post a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the people that saw your post 24/7 will never see them anymore because you've been shadow banned.
Got it. Other words in the self-proclaimed iconic dictionary are late capitalism, Beach read. We all know what a beach read is. Dungeon crawler. What is that?
That I do not know.
Oh, we're going to have to look up dungeon crawler. And jam band, which I assume just means a band. This drives me crazy. I don't think things like that should be in the mirror. Now, street corn, I can get behind that because it's actually a word meaning street corn.
Dungeon crawler is a video game.
We're putting video games in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary now. That's great.
Yes, Merriam and Webster are both turning over their
graves. I'm going to apologize for what we are about to do to you with the earworm that is the song Macarena. Millennials are apparently crushed by the, quote, wholly inappropriate meaning of Macarena. I didn't know what it meant either, Sam, I'm going to be honest. From the New York Post. The kids had no clue what they were shaking it to. For party people of the 1990s, the hip swinging beat of the Macarena still rings as the sultry soundtrack of the decade, which came complete with its own club-worthy choreography. But, oh God, here comes the song. But now the nostalgic bubble associated with the Spanish language hit is bursting, much to the chagrin of millennials and older, thanks to meddling TikTokers who've analyzed the lyrics. What do you know about the Macarena in English? Content creator Maddie Jackson asked her nearly 720,000 followers. Give your body joy, Macarena. Your body is for good things. Give your body joy, Macarena. Hey, Macarena. Is that what it means? I had no idea.
That's not a direct translation, but it gets the message across. Give a little lovin' to your body.
Okay.
Macarena has a boyfriend who's called Vitorino by his last name.
Throughout all of our childhoods, she added, we were dancing to a song about a woman cheating on her man.
And when he left to sign up for the army, he saw her with two of his friends.
That's
Macarena
really what it's about.
Macarena has a boyfriend who's called Vitorino by his last name. And when he left to sign up for the army, he saw her with two of his friends.
Oh, good Lord. Someone wrote one of the many songs we had no business singing with our nine-year-olds with. Good yeah. God. Really? All I know is the song is annoying, and now we all have it in our heads. That's what I know about the Macarena. 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 I'm going to have that in my head all day long.
You don't have to roll your R in that
Macarena.
Word.
913-586-7798. We will wrap things up here in a bit on Dana and Park. Stick with us. Really? So apparently none of us realize the Macarena, while an earworm and catchy and all of that, is, you know, has a little bit of a tawdry meaning behind it. And then Dakota had to call in and ruin this song for me by the Beach Boys. I had no idea, but keep it clean, Dakota.
I will. Two songs. One of them we used to sing in Boy Scouts at H.R.O. Bartle was Prince and the Twig of Bamboo. And then the second one is about a marital aid, if I can say that, good vibrations.
I had no idea. I've heard that song a billion times that there was an adult theme behind what they are talking about.
Have you ever sang La Cucaracha with your kids?
Yeah, it's a cockroach song.
Well, yeah, but cockroach is slang in Spanish for not the bug.
I did not know that either, Sam.
Yeah, it's, you
know,
it I'm is the one slang for something else that in, people
no,
call a roach.
I am the one in high school that thought welcome to the jungle meant the jungle. Like,
right.
Like the jungle where animals live and
right.
The rainforest exist. Like, I did not know that that was a song about drugs.
La Cucaracha is also a song about drugs.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's go to Lucy in Lee's Summit. Hey, Lucy, go ahead.
Hey, I have a gnarly question. It might be a little bit grody, but actually, I'll keep it clean. So, what happened with the Gen X words? Are we getting in the dictionary? I mean, everything is totally tubular, and you know, I'm just chilling here, looking through the dictionary.
Yeah.
And you know. There's, I mean, come on, dudette. Like, we've got to get something in here.
Lucy, first of all, you managed to work in eight Gen X slang terms.
I am so impressed right now, Lucy. I cannot even.
That was rad.
Well, I don't want to be bogus, I'm trying to be totally righteous, but, you know, like, I want to know, are we in there too?
I believe that we are, but if you look up tubular, it does not come up as slang. I'm going to be honest. It like way far down, it says it was surf culture slang for cool or awesome, derived from catching a wave and getting in, quote, the tube. I didn't even know that's what
well,
that
yeah,
meant.
Yeah, tubular is tube shaped.
Got it. Good to know, Sam. Thank you.
You're welcome. That. it's a very educational program we have here.
Very.
Macarena is about a woman cheating.
Ooh, should we all stand up right now together and do the seventh inning stretch? Does that happen before the seventh inning or after the seventh inning?
That happens in the middle of the seventh inning.
Oh, well, we are in the top of the seventh, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
But I do feel like getting up and stretching since I have been tethered to this chair for 96,433 billion hours.
In 2 minutes and 20 seconds, you are welcome to get up and stretch all you want to.
Have you heard that the drugs used for weight loss that you will pry out of my cold, dead, thin hands apparently are also helping people stop smoking? Semaglutide, the active ingredient in drugs like Wegovy and Ozempic, can help people lose weight. And now a new study says it may also help you quit smoking. The study was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine on Monday. You know you subscribe. Researchers found that semaglutide was associated with lower risks for tobacco use disorder-related healthcare measures, including reduced smoking cessation medication prescriptions and counseling. They looked at 222,000 new users of these medications. A lot of the participants had both type 2 diabetes and tobacco use disorder, and many started showing differences within 30 days of starting the prescription when it came to smoking use. While it's too early to suggest that prescribing the drugs for smoking cessation could work, the findings do suggest the need for more research. And I've told you this, you guys. It puts like a wet blanket on your thoughts about
the inner squirrel,
anything.
Yeah.
It
eat, drink, whatever.
All of it. I mean, look, I love myself a glass of Meiomi. Had one with my daughter last night. Love myself a glass of wine. But I don't drink three anymore or four. I mean, you just don't feel like consuming whatever it is you consumed prior. And I'm not surprised at all.
Okay. We have more songs coming in that don't mean what you thought they meant.
Okay. Give me
Did you ever
one.
Watch the cartoon or play the song Puff the Magic Dragon?
Yeah.
Not about dragons.
Lives by the sea in a land called Audalee?
Yeah.
Don't ruin my childhood. Why?
Well, sorry.
Why? What does it mean when someone in the dugout goes on the phone? What is that phone for? Who are they calling?
I can tell you who they're not calling, and that is Tossin' for Tails. The Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament coming
Very
up. Just
nice
over 2 weeks away.
Diversion, Sam.
You're welcome.
Very nice diversion.
Go
How do people sign up?
KMBZ.com. It's live right now. You can sign up. We're only accepting 100 teams. Spots are filling up fast. It's $50 for a team of two. So get there and get your spot now. It is tournament-style cornhole play October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is Midwest Cornhole League certified, so it will count towards your points.
I'll be there. Sam will be there.
That's right.
Travis will be there. Scott will be there.
Pretty you can sure, also buy a spectator pass for $10.
$10. Pretty sure Winebomb's going to be there.
Oh, we're going to drag him there.
Oh, you can throw those cornholes. Come throw those cornholes with us.
And we have a fart sound emoji.
Bottom of the seventh we go. We will see you back here tomorrow. Be safe, everybody. Be good.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.